You're listening to The Record on KUOW with Ross Reynolds. I'm Marcy Silman. For the next 2 weeks on the station, we're exploring how our region is emerging from the Great Recession, what kinds of jobs we have, what we've lost, and what the new economy might look like. We call this series The Big Reset. One question going forward is income inequality. We've lost a significant percentage of living wage jobs, and we're wondering what will replace them. Economist Tyler Cowen's been thinking a lot about the new job market. He's a professor of economics at George Mason University. His newest book is called Average is Over, Powering America Beyond the Age of the Great Stagnation. And Tyler Cowen joins me now. Hello.
Hello.
Last week, Professor, we saw a new report that indicates that the nation's richest people got richer during the economic recovery, while the poorest segment of our population is caught up in minimum wage work if they have jobs at all. In your new book, you describe essentially a two-tiered job market. What got lost?
I think income inequality is only going to increase in the future. There'll be a key question. Do computers somehow augment the value of what you're doing? Or are you competing against computers? And I think individuals, they'll either do much, much better, or their wages are going to stagnate. So in my book, I call this Average is Over.
So the jobs that we've lost are what? Middle-income jobs? Jobs that are a lot of
manufacturing jobs, a lot of mid-level clerical jobs, which mostly are done by machines. They are being replaced, but often it's by service jobs, like walking people's dogs or watching their kids or being a yoga instructor. Some of those jobs pay better than others, but in general, they don't provide the same kind of career ladders for moving up in life.
I know that a lot of manufacturing jobs were lost because some of them went offshore or to other places or those industries just died out. So this segmentation of the job market is not due specifically to the recession?
Well, the recession was a kind of announcement of it. The recession was the messenger. It accelerated these trends. But at the end of the day, these trends have been going on for decades, at least since the early 1980s, and we've settled into what I sometimes call a new normal, which is a very strange world from what we might have expected in the 1960s.
Describe your vision of the new normal.
Well, the earlier vision of American prosperity is that every year, not everyone's, but most people's wages would go up by 2 or 3%, and we would all creep forward on a pretty even, smooth basis. And we're seeing that simply isn't true, that globalization has had great benefits, but it's also been disruptive. And we find automation and globalization working together have led to this skewed pattern, where I think for the future, again, we'll be seeing more of this inequality.
We're talking with economics professor Tyler Cowen, and his new book is called Average is Over. And throughout this book, you use the metaphor, it's actually not really a metaphor, but I'll call it that, of computerized chess games. I take it that you're a big chess player, yes?
That's correct. What's striking about chess is when you team up a human being and a computer, that team plays better than the computer alone, or for that matter, the human alone. And this, I think, is a kind of metaphor for the future job market. It's people who are good at working with computers in different ways, but that's quite a new set of skills in many cases than what we're used to. So if you think of a lawyer or a doctor who's good at working with computers, that's not what lawyers and doctors used to do. So it's going to have a lot of change even within a lot of the high-earning professions.
It also sounds, though, that collaboration is a skill that people are going to need.
And knowing when to defer either to other people or to what computers are telling you. So humility, actually, is becoming much more important for success, which I find encouraging.
You are a college professor. You work at a university. How should, in your view, colleges and universities be adjusting their curricula to address this?
We're all looking to economize on costs. We're seeing significant moves toward online education. I don't think all students can learn that way, but I think many can, and the price of education will get much cheaper. I foresee a future where there's a great education available online, either for free or very cheap, and that will be wonderful. But there's still the big question, how many people will be motivated and disciplined enough to use it, to take advantage of it? And I think the answer to that question is unknown, but the big issue behind what our future is going to look like. Will it be 20%, 50%, 70%?
Will we have to adjust the course offerings that we put online to address, as you say, the need for these skills to succeed?
Well, we need to train people more in technical subjects. I think we need to train them much more just in the common sense of life, things like financial literacy, how to make good decisions. We need to train people more to prepare them for service sector jobs, and also just train people in the idea of how do you find what job is right for you. And a lot of our colleges have not been doing so great on these scores.
Even if we give people technical skills and give them sort of job literacy, we are still faced with the fact that salaries overall, given inflation and the increasing cost of things like health insurance and fuel, that salaries are flat, if not lower, than they were a decade ago.
And that's true, but it's important to disaggregate salaries and look at different areas. So I think, for instance, that say 20 years from now, you know, 15% of this country can be earning basically the salaries of millionaires. I find that entirely plausible. Now, that's far from everyone. We would be left with significant problems. But I think we're going to see a lot more people climb into the ranks of high earners. We're getting better at measuring value, so people who are talented will be spotted more quickly and encouraged more. So there's also a lot of upside to this world. It will be a very mixed picture.
What role should the federal or state government, for that matter, play in trying to either help everybody get to that skill set level or providing some kind of safety net to workers who just can't do it?
Well, there's a lot we could do. Unfortunately, we're not doing much of it now. I think we need to make K-12 education much more rigorous. We need to lower the cost of housing by making it easier to build, especially in American cities. We need to find ways of making healthcare pricing more transparent and thus making healthcare cheaper and more competitive. Those are all hard things to do, but if you imagine living costs, education, and healthcare as much cheaper, the people who are having trouble earning more money, well, they'd face much lower prices, and that's another way they could be better off.
When you talk about making things like housing easier to build, you're talking about deregulation?
Absolutely. So if you try to build something in San Francisco, basically it ends up being reserved for high earners. It's an extremely wealthy city. The poor, even the middle class, often even the upper middle class, they're being priced out. So I think that's a trend we should reverse, but I don't see that happening soon.
We're talking with economist Tyler Cowen. There is a move in cities across the country, including here in Seattle, to take a look at not just increasing the minimum wage. Washington State does have the highest minimum wage in the nation, but to provide something called a living wage. I know it's been a subject of big discussion in Washington, D.C. as well. How do you think that this push for some sort of bottom level wage to go up, whether it's a minimum wage or a living wage, how does that play into the conversation that we're having?
Well, I think that's addressing symptoms rather than causes. The sustainable solutions are to actually increase the productivity of people so that it's profitable to pay them the higher wage. If you mandate a higher minimum or a living wage, some people will be paid more, but others will be put out of work. That will be a very mixed set of results. It's really about productivity in the longer run.
Well, how do you do that?
Well, again, education is the first priority, but we all can realize even if you fixed our educational system, that can take a long time to pay off. So I think for the foreseeable future, we will be getting some version of the world I'm talking about.
We've been talking a lot about sort of deregulation, economic incentives, very specific practical things that both the public and private sector can do. Is there some kind of social responsibility that the government needs to shoulder? I'm talking about what some people refer to as the welfare state.
Well, I think over time we'll need to rethink the welfare state. It has a lot of different moving parts. A long time ago, a number of economists suggested a guaranteed minimum income as maybe better than a very complicated set of welfare programs. And I wouldn't say we should do this today, but we should think about longer term how we might transition toward that.
One last thing I want to touch on very briefly is that we're far from a politically unanimous society in addressing any issues, let alone what you're talking about. So very briefly, what has to happen in the political sector to make the pathway to what you're talking about?
Well, there's a lot of gridlock in Washington, which I live near, that is Washington, D.C., and I don't see that ending anytime soon. The good news is a lot of the positive things we might do are at the state and local level, such as education, and they're not really partisan issues. I think in part it's just a matter of will, really making that a societal priority. And again, I don't see that we're doing it, but it's certainly not impossible. The U.S. has faced tougher challenges in the past, and I would say I'm cautiously optimistic on that one.
Thank you so much, Tyler Cowen, economics professor at George Mason University. His new book, Average is Over, Powering America Beyond the Age of the Great Stagnation. You're listening to The Record on 94.9 KUOW Seattle with Ross Reynolds. I'm Marcy Silman.